you ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down in easy-to-understand terms and help you learn and earn in the age of cryptocurrencies. So welcome to the Let's Talk Crypto Show, brought to you by SchoolOfCrypto.com with your hosts, Barry Moore and Tom Galeski.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Crypto. My name is Barry Moore. I'm one of your co-hosts, and with me, as always, Tom Galeski. Welcome, Tom.
Yo, yo, brother.
This is the final episode for 2017. And first, before we get into that, I want to thank everybody for making the show a success. It has been a runaway success, from exceeding our expectations. Now downloaded in over 100 countries and still going. So I want to take some time to thank you, the listener, for coming along on this crypto journey with us. In this episode, we are going to just do a wrap-up for 2017. It's been a hectic, crazy year for both crypto, myself, and my brother Tom here. So we just wanted to take a pause, relax, have a scotch, and talk about what's happened in 2017 and what we think might happen in 2018. And I say think because you can never tell what's going to happen in crypto. So Tom, how's your 2017 been?
Yeah, this year's been phenomenal, dude. It's been a awesome journey. This getting involved in this podcasting world has been amazing. Like you said, over 100 countries. The School of Crypto Facebook group's been going great guns. We're getting some great feedback and awesome questions in there. And I feel humbled to be part of it. It's been awesome, and I cannot wait for next year. Next year is just going to be phenomenal. If everybody thought this year was crazy, I think crazy to the power of two come 2018, mate.
Yeah, for sure. It really reminds me of the early days of the internet, you know, when I was just fascinated by how it all worked. I was up late at night reading technical stuff, pulling apart stuff, trying to get stuff to work, just fascinated with all the moving parts that were involved. And so crypto has been exactly the same ride for me in 2017. So in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the market, where the market's been in 2017, some of the lessons learned from us, kind of our best calls and worst calls we made this year. And then the dangerous part of the show, we're going to make a few predictions as to what we think might be some trends in 2018 and talk about some of the coins we like. Now, having said that, I must reiterate, as we always do on the podcast, we are not financial advisors. We are not here to give you financial advice. Do your own homework. Make your own decisions. Take this all as information and entertainment only. All right, now let's talk about the market a little bit. If we set the Wayback Machine to January 1st, 2017, the market cap of crypto was $17.7 billion. Where it sits today at the time of recording is $570 billion. That is $553 billion coming into the crypto sphere in 2017. Just to put that in perspective, $553 billion is bigger than the gross domestic product of South Africa and Chile combined. It's bigger than the market cap of Facebook. That's how much money came into crypto this year. Next year, I think, is going to be absolutely mental. If we have a look at Bitcoin itself, not the whole crypto market, Bitcoin started the year with a market cap of a laughable $15 billion, and now it's $250 billion at the time of recording. Price went from $961, and it's now sitting at $15,000 US and was as high as $19,000 US. So it's been a crazy ride in 2017. But the interesting thing to look at is that market cap number, right? So at the beginning of the year, the market cap was $17 billion for all of crypto. So the interesting thing to look at there is the market cap, right? So the market cap for all of crypto at the beginning of the year was $17.7 billion, and Bitcoin had $15 billion of that. So that left a measly $2.7 billion for the rest of crypto, all the other coins combined. And now we're looking at, you know, a market cap of $571 billion. Bitcoin's only half of that. Its dominance as the preeminent crypto has dropped to like 43% or something like that. So it's really kind of been the year of the altcoin for sure this year. And be interesting to see where it goes next year.
Yeah, Barry, we look at these numbers of, you know, $500 billion or even half a trillion dollars. And for us, you know, in this crypto land, it seems phenomenally huge, but in the global economy, it's not even a drop in the ocean. And as we talk about, I mean, crypto's really taken off probably, I'd say, this year. The awareness has gone through the roof, but I think we're still early adopters. I mean, this whole crypto world, we can see so many new types of, you know, quote marks, inventions where I'm seeing traditional businesses now moving the technology layer into this blockchain. And I think that's going to be the thing moving forward. I mean, Bitcoin and, you know, Ethereum, Litecoin, Dash, and the coins that sit over the top of it, I think a lot of people lose sight of the fact that the blockchain is the secret that makes these things work. And we're seeing technology and intelligence evolve. And that's going to be exciting for us next year outside of the market cap. It's just going to grow as more and more people are coming into this market. More and more money is going to come into it. And I think that's a good thing as well. As the market cap goes up, it's going to take out some of the volatility and make it maybe a more of a long-term investment. And we'll talk about that for the show with, you know, potential institutional money coming in and more cash coming into the market. It should slow things down and settle it down. And I think that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, in order for any of these coins to gain adoption by industry, especially, you know, swings of 30% in either direction every day, just can't be there. It's got to be more stable. And you're certainly right. I think there's kind of two investment theses here. One is the, you know, the coin market, which we talk about all the time, but then the other underlying one is the blockchain market and that technology spreading itself wide across a lot of different industries. And so I've been keeping an eye on a lot of different industries in their implementation of blockchain. We talked about it a little bit already, but last night I was reading about Disney. Walt Disney Corporation has basically spun off a division just dealing with blockchain called Dragon Coin. If Disney's getting in the blockchain game, it's only a matter of time before everybody else does as well. And even this blockchain stuff started to border on the ridiculous, much like the dot-com era. There was a company, like the Long Island Iced Tea Company or something, and they changed their name to Long Island Blockchain and said they were getting involved in blockchain. They were still going to make tea. They're still going to make drinks, but they're going to get involved in blockchain. And their stock shot up like 200%, 280% or something like that, just because they put blockchain in the name of their company. Ridiculous.
So Barry, if we reflect back on this year, I mean, I think both you, I, and probably all of our listeners are going through this huge, steep learning curve. So maybe we should go through a couple of lessons that we've learned over this year. I'll start if you like. So one of the big things for me, and I've been pretty open on the podcast about it, is I suffer from from FOMO, as most of us would do when you start seeing a particular coin go up or even down for that matter, and maybe buying in the wrong time. So one of the big things for me is very much to stop, you know, take a breath, have a think about where I'm making that investment of my money, or if I'm exchanging currency, and maybe thinking twice, like the old saying that we have, you know, measure twice, cut once. I try to apply that. I've actually got that on a little sticky note stuck on my monitor. So just before I click trade or buy or sell, yeah, I'm just a bit conscious of that. So one of the big lessons for me this year is just slow down a little bit. I mean, this market, this crypto market evolves very quick. And like Barry said before, you know, we get spikes and peaks in 20, 30, 40% in very short periods of time. So that's usually when you make the biggest mistakes. One thing that I'll be trying to apply next year is actually having a strategy before I start getting involved. I've just invested in some more training, in some more courses. I'm not going to be a trader per se, but I want to understand how to read graphs and how to read the market a little bit better to make some wiser decisions. And hopefully moving forward, I can share some of those learnings with our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. If you take FOMO and you mix it with too much coffee and not enough sleep, it's a bad combination. Yeah, for me, I think, like I said, it's like the early days of the internet. There's just so much to learn and so many different little rabbit holes and side alleyways you can go down learning about this and that and the other thing. It's just too much to learn. And I think that's probably the lesson, is that there's too much to learn. So it doesn't really matter if I spend 24 hours a day researching and learning about different stuff. It's never going to be enough. There's just too much. So I think for me, the big lesson is find an area. You can't keep up with everything. You just can't. There's always going to be some coin that's frothing that you missed out on or whatever. You just can't keep up on everything. So find an area or a niche that you like and you really believe in and you're really interested in, and go deep. So I've got a background in aviation. I've got a background in the travel industry. I've got a background in technology. So I'm interested in those platform coins that we kind of talked about before, the EOSes of the world, BitShares, etc. I'm interested in aviation and applying blockchain. You know, aviation is the perfect industry to apply blockchain to, as is the travel industry. So, you know, I'm keeping an eye on what people are doing in that particular area as well. And certainly for those people who do suffer from FOMO, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's almost certainly always is too good to be true. So, and the other lesson I've learned this year especially is guard your keys, guard your crypto. Lazy people lose money and they get it lost or stolen. So don't be one of those people. Which leads us into the next section, which is best call, worst call. So we make mistakes just like everybody else. I've made some good calls this year. I've made some bad calls this year. And I'm sure Tom has as well. So I want to talk about a few of those and maybe we can learn some lessons out of those. I got in a couple of good ICOs, and that's because one, I was curious, and two, I did a little bit of homework. Like I said, found those areas that I'm interested in. I'm interested in platform coins. You know, what's going to be the superhighway of crypto in the next few years? If you want to build something, you've got to build it on some real estate. You've got to build it on some infrastructure. So what is that infrastructure going to be? So I got in kind of early on the EOS ICO, which is still going on, by the way. I got a really, really good price on EOS, which has gone up nicely, I must say. And Power Ledger, if you're not familiar with Power Ledger, it's an Australian company in the distributed power space in Western Australia. And I got in on their ICO, which was nice as well. And then one of the things that's actually helped with FOMO, right, this fear of missing out, that you, some coin's pumping and you know, taking off. Like I totally missed Cardano, didn't have a single Cardano coin, missed that boat altogether. But what helps me combat FOMO is Crypto 20. If you haven't heard of Crypto 20, that's basically a tokenized index fund who had their ICO, I think it was in December, November, something like that. It's a tokenized index fund, which basically takes all the funds from the people that buy tokens and they go out and they buy the top 20 cryptocurrencies and they hold those and they rebalance them on a regular basis so that if somebody slides out of the top 20, they get kicked out and the new person gets put into the portfolio and your Crypto 20 coins basically give you a fractional ownership of that pot, essentially just like an index fund. So it's nice that if I miss one of those top 20 coins frothing away and spiking, that Crypto 20 picks that up and I don't have to worry about it so much. But it certainly helps with the FOMO, which is probably my worst call this year, was FOMOing and IOTA was running away. And, you know, since I like all the platform coins, IOTA being the Internet of Things, which is one of our 12 coins of Christmas, it was spiking. I hadn't done all the research yet. I just saw it going up. And so I'm like, oh, I've got to get on this, and FOMOed into it. And then it just turned around and went straight back down again. So don't let the FOMO get to you. That was kind of my worst call of the year.
I think we can all relate to that, Barry, at some point. If we haven't already done it, maybe some of us multiple times, not saying anything. You know, in the future, we just see the same thing. Unfortunately, that emotion takes over and you've got to try not to trade on emotion or buy on emotion. But on the flip side too, a lot of these coins, even though they've had a pump recently, as we've seen on most of the altcoins, you know, if you believe in the company behind the coin, we've talked about this before, then it's a good long-term hold. It just means that rather than, you know, getting it at the right price and making all this money, it's that you're investing in that business as it grows moving forward. You know, there's no reason why you shouldn't get a return on your investment. And part of our disclaimer, we talk about, you know, you shouldn't invest any money you're not prepared to lose in any case. So shouldn't be too bad if you are feeling those emotions, like, you know, I've talked about before, that I suffer from FOMO a lot because I'm fairly emotional when it comes to this sort of stuff. But on the flip side, if you're feeling really sick in the gut about doing these type of investments, then maybe you should reconsider that money is maybe not at that layer where you're prepared to lose. So just think about that and just be very cautious moving forward.
Cool. And what about you, Tom? Best call, worst call?
Well, I think one of the best things I did was bought a Trezor. I really love that thing. So that's a cold storage hardware wallet. It's just so simple. It's really cool. I love it. And most of the major cryptos are supported on it. So that was one of my best things I've ever done. Talked about in the last episode where my wife sat down with me and she didn't understand where all my money was and where all the crypto was. And it was scattered all over the place. And I said, okay, honey, this is how it works. Here's the password. Here are the seed keys. This is what we're going to do with it. This is where we're going to put it. And this is how you unlock it. So we spent 5 minutes going through that. So that, I thought that was a really cool thing that I did. Worst, I mean, definitely FOMO's probably been one of those things. As you talked about, Barry, I think we all suffered that at some point. I bought into Bitcoin Cash, put a little bit too high in its recent pump that it had. Definitely my worst call was these HYIP or the high yield investment programs where it looked too good to be true. And I went, yay, I got in and I got in and I got in. And then, yeah, I lost I wouldn't say a huge amount of money, but enough to really sort of sting. And my wife sort of looked at me with those funny eyes and I went, okay, I won't do that again. So definitely look out for these high yield investment programs. I think we're going to see more of them moving forward. And hopefully, you know, through these episodes and the ones moving forward, and obviously in the Facebook group, we'll, you know, if we come across these things, we'll definitely put our flags up there and give you guys a heads up. But, you know, you've got to make your own decisions. But yeah, if it's too good to be true, it generally is.
Yeah, and for those of you who want to get in on the Facebook group, if you're not there already, you can just go to schoolofcrypto.com/Facebook, and that will redirect you right to the group. Just hit the join button, and we'll let you in. We look forward to talking to you on the inside. So, end of 2017, it's always natural to just reflect on what's coming up in the next year. So, we're going to throw out a couple of general trend predictions, how we see them, what we think the market's going to do in the next year. Of course, we could be totally wrong. And it will be interesting to go back to this episode in a year's time and see how accurate we were. But for me, I think there's a couple of trends that are really going to be powerful through the market in the next kind of year. One, certainly, I think more institutional money coming into the Bitcoin ecosystem, not necessarily the altcoin ones. I think, you know, come the new year, everyone's money is resting. You can see that in Bitcoin kind of trading sideways for the last few weeks. I think the institutional money is resting, waiting for the new year to come in, the new year to start, and the hedge fund managers and all that big institutional money is going to go, okay, where are we going to put this year? And now that there's more instruments like the futures contracts and everyone seems to be getting in, you know, maybe some ETFs launching next year, I think it'll be easier for institutional money to come in. So I think we'll see a lot of that coming into Bitcoin next year. I also think for the general retail investor, there'll be a more of a move to decentralized exchanges. And I think you'll see decentralized exchanges gaining a lot of traction in 2018. For those of you who aren't familiar with decentralized exchanges, the nice thing about them is they remove third-party risk. We've seen in the last kind of, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, when there's been this big tidal wave of new people coming into Bitcoin and the crypto world, that the exchanges, you know, Coinbase and Cryptopia and Binance and pretty much all the major exchanges have been suffering under the weight of all these new users. They're being crushed and they've been going down. People haven't been able to access their wallets for a certain amount of time, or they've suspended withdrawals or deposits, or I can't remember which one I just read the other day, suspending any new users from signing up. They're like, right, we just can't take any new users. So you can quite easily see that one, exchanges can be hacked. You know, we've had that big nice hash hack not too long ago. Not that that's an exchange, but it illustrates the point that these big companies can still be hacked, number one. And number two, there's a lot of counterparty risk there if that exchange goes down for any amount of time. You know, if the market's tanking and you want to get on and sell and you can't, you know, if there's a run on the exchange, like there used to be runs on the bank, you can't get to your money to sell it if that's what you want to do, or take it out or whatever. That's a big problem. So decentralized exchanges are exactly that. They're like, there's a blockchain that sits in the middle and there's lots of different interfaces to get to that blockchain. You know, BitShares, Open Ledger being the kind of the ones that are got the most traction at the moment. But there's no third party in the middle. There's no Coinbase there. There's no Binance there. It's you trading through the blockchain with other people trading through the blockchain. There's no third party counterparty risk in that decentralized exchange. So there's no one to turn it off. There's no one to say you can't join. There's no one to do dirty tricks behind the scene. You know, there's been some innuendo that Coinbase is doing fractional reserve type stuff and they don't actually have all the Bitcoin there in the background that they say they have, etc. With a decentralized exchange, you don't get any of that. And obviously, you won't get any fee gouging on a decentralized exchange as well. So I've spent a lot of time going through the BitShares platform recently, and I think while it's a little bit hard to use, the UI is a little bit ugly, I think that concept will gain a lot of traction in 2018. And then the last trend, I think, will be more douchebaggery from the banks. Here in Australia, at least, banks have been cutting off the fiat gateways of money into the system. So there's been a couple of big exchanges here in Australia where you can't deposit fiat anymore. The banks won't let you do it. The banks have cut them off. So they're basically squeezing the hose and not let any more money into the system, saying they want to protect their, you know, their account holders. And it's like, oh, you want to protect me from spending my money on what I want to spend it on? Is that how it works? So yeah, I think there'll be more douchebaggeries from the banks as they see their funds kind of ebb out of their ecosystem and into the crypto ecosystem. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, I share your sentiment about the institutional money coming in. I think that's going to be a good thing. And I'd speculate that these type of investments will be on the Bitcoin, which is the grandpapa of crypto. So, you know, for me, that's why I see, you know, Bitcoin as a good long-term hold, because the money's going to come into that rather than the altcoin market. I would suggest, I've got no idea. I don't play in that space. I don't know too much about it. So that's where I see that coming moving forward. And also, I think the big thing for me, because I've been burnt a few times now, and yes, more than once, so I went back for seconds and thirds, is there'll be a ton more scams out there. They're just going to be ripened. We're seeing them every day. Well, I'm seeing them every day because I know sort of what to look for. And I'm also seeing a lot of people fall for the tricks. sort of breaks my heart a little bit, because I went there, I've been there, done that, and I've lost a little bit of money. I can just see that people being taken advantage of. And, you know, I'm getting messages and via Facebook and, you know, through friends and saying, oh, have you heard about this? And you heard about this? And I just look at them and say, just go away. I don't even have to go, you know, to the website. I can see by the offer that, you know, it's something that I would want to avoid. Now, I'm not saying that they're all scams, but right now, you know, unfortunately, most of them are. And there'll be more and more of them moving forward next year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom. I think there's going to be, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people preying on the newbies coming into the system and putting out scams there. People don't know where to turn to get honest advice in this ecosystem, again, which is one of the reasons for this podcast. We've fallen for those ourselves. We've learned the lessons ourselves. We want to make sure that none of you guys fall to it. Having said that, you know, when you spend your money where you want to spend it, if you want to spend it on what looks like a scam or a Ponzi scheme, hey, more power to you. But we're going to highlight those ones that we think are unsavory. And that's one of the reasons for the podcast and the Facebook group as well. So if you have any doubt, by all means, just throw a question in the Facebook group. If Tom and I have heard of it before, we'll be more than happy to give you our honest opinion of it. All right. So here's the real crystal ball part of the episodes, the one that people always ask us about. And they always want to know, what coins do we like? Where are we putting our money? What do we think is going to happen, you know, in 2018. And I will take this time to reiterate straight off the bat, we're not financial advisors. We're just a couple of guys talking crypto. And please do not take these as buy recommendations. These are just things that we like. So Tom, what do you like for 2018?
My strategy this year and moving into next year will definitely be to accumulate Bitcoin. I feel that, you know, with all institutional money coming in, it'll be a good long-term bet. And that's exactly what it is. I think that'll have, you know, that nice growth that we're going to expect from this crypto world. And I think it's going to be a good long-term investment. Everything I do with my mining and all my other investment programs, you know, I'm converting a lot of that to Bitcoin, and I'm just basically parking and banking it in there. Now, I do have a bit of a diverse portfolio, but Bitcoin makes up well over 70% of that. As far as other predictions, I think the fact that people are coming to realize that, you know, Bitcoin is not what it's set out to be, meaning that it's, you know, anonymous coin and it's super fast and all the rest of it. We've seen over this last few months that it's really slow. There's so many unconfirmed transactions and it's caused us an increase in fees, and it's maybe not as anonymous as we thought, as we discussed in the last episode. So I think a coin in the security sector or the anonymous sector like Monero or PIVX, I think will take reins of that day-to-day transactions, especially for people that want to try and remain a little bit more anonymous. So I think Monero is something that I'll look into. I do have a small holding in that now, but I bought that many, many months ago, and I'll probably look at taking a position on that moving forward. Outside of that, I mean, we've got development platforms. There's a ton of them out there. We've covered them in the 12 Coins of Christmas. In saying that, a lot of the research that we did for those episodes uncovered a lot of facts about these companies behind these coins that I didn't even think about. So I'll go back and revisit into that development platform space, because I really think that that's going to be a growth market for next year. Yeah, so in the platform space, Barry, I think Neo is a coin that I do have a holding of, and I've been accumulating that slowly, and I think I'll take a further position in that next year.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. So I'm taking kind of a three-pronged approach to next year. So there's kind of three tiers that I'm looking at. One is, you know, is as you said, Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the granddaddy. It's the original gangster. It's the store of value. It's the digital equivalent of gold, right? If you had a bucket load of gold in the safe, you'd be a happy dude. However, you're not taking that gold out and buying lunch with it. As we've seen in the last few weeks, months, Bitcoin isn't really kind of what it promised to be in the white paper from Satoshi. You know, it's more of a store of value than it is a spending currency, just like gold. You're not going to walk around with gold coins in your pocket and spend them on things. It is a store of value, though. And I think Bitcoin will always be that. It will always be the standard bearer and the store of value. But it's not fulfilling on that promise of being a crypto that you can use every day for everyday transactions. So that's one tier, is the store of value tier. So the Bitcoin tier, which kind of stands alone. The second one is, who's going to win in the adoption of using crypto on a day-to-day basis for daily transactions, right? Who's going to win in that game? Now, you talked about Monero and PIVX as well. And I think the other contender in that space is Dash. And I've mentioned them a couple of times now, but I really think they've got the model right to become the spending currency of your mom and your grandma. Just the way they've got it sorted out, the way they've got it mapped out in their roadmap, the governance, the war chest, and how the whole system works. So I'll be looking at accumulating more Dash next year. While I think they might have a slight edge over the others like Monero and PIVX, those platforms may be technically excellent. Is your mom or is your grandma going to be uncomfortable using something like Monero, which waves the banner that they're a privacy coin and snubs its nose to mainstream society and, you know, is being used on the kind of the dark web as a privacy coin? I don't think they'll like that. I don't think they'll like that for mass adoption of the coin by the everyman. But the nice thing about Dash is it still has a private send function in there. So if you want to send a private transaction, you can still do that, but it still has more widespread appeal to the everyman. So that's the second tier, which is the everyday currency. So who's going to win that battle to be the everyday currency? And then the third layer, as Tom was saying, is those platform coins, right? We're still building out the superhighway that the rest of this crypto world is driving on, much like the early days of the internet and the ISPs and the AOLs and the CompuServes and all those kind of people. We're building platforms to get people on-ramped onto the internet. I think what we're seeing now in these platform coins is building out the infrastructure to on-ramp businesses onto the blockchain. So two I've got my eye on in that space are Ryblox, which has been on a bit of a tear lately, symbol XRB, and EOS, as I mentioned before, especially the latter half of the year. So their ICO is still running until June, I believe. And then they've already got their testnet live, and they should go into production kind of in the latter half of next year. So certainly keeping an eye on them simply because of the scale involved in EOS. You know, Dan Larimer is a smart dude. He's smarter than anybody's got a right to be. I think if you look at the throughput capacity of the two previous projects that he's built, Steam and BitShares, you know, while the Bitcoin network is at like 100%, Bitcoin blockchain is at 100% of capacity with 100,000 unconfirmed transactions, Steam is doing five times the amount of transactions and is running at less than 1% of capacity. So EOS is kind of like round three of that development for high capacity infrastructure for the crypto space. So I think they bear some watching for the next year. They've already had a bit of a run up, but I'll be keeping an eye on them as well. So that's kind of what's on my radar for 2018. The gold standard, the everyday spend, and the infrastructure play. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, Barry, I know you've got a love affair with Dash, and I think all of our listeners know that by now, but I do agree with you. I think they're a solid company. Their structure, their model, everything that you went through over the last few episodes, they look very solid, dude, I have to admit. I also bought some on your recommendation, probably a little bit on too high a price because it's also had a bit of a run this last few weeks. But again, long-term hold, I think I like Dash like you suggested.
All right, well, that wraps up our look back at 2017. We'd love to hear your thoughts on 2017 and your predictions for 2018. And you can leave those over in the Facebook group. The easiest way to get there is schoolofcrypto.com/Facebook, and you'll be redirected over there. Love to hear your thoughts on what's coming in 2018. So we might wrap it up there, folks. So we'd like to thank you for joining us on this crypto journey and helping make Let's Talk Crypto podcast a success in 2017. And we're really looking forward to what's coming in 2018. Links to everything we've mentioned on the show will be over in the show notes, and you can get to that at schoolofcrypto.com/show and just look for episode number 9.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. And once again, to our listeners, it's been an awesome ride. I've got a seat booked on the front row of the roller coaster for next year. Bye for now.
So we'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Oh, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year!
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.